This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. It's a great pleasure to welcome my dear good colleague, Francis Rose. He is the host of FedGov Today, a conversation with the United States government and its military services and everything attached to the success of the United States of America. We begin today, however, at the Sea Air Space Communications Fair at the National Harbor, in which Francis has the good luck to welcome the VCNO, the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Kilby, who is a fascination to me. Francis sits on set and they discuss something I never imagined, given the storied romance of the U.S. Navy. I'd hear from the admirals suggesting that this is now commonplace in the Navy. Data management. Francis, a very good evening to you. Only you could get a man leading the U.S. Navy to talk data management. What does it mean to the Navy today? What's happened? Good evening, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program, as always. The data management in the Navy means that the Navy is really, really set on getting data to the tip of the spear as quickly as possible, as often as possible, and with as much volume as possible. What that means is it wants to make sure that data is available to a Navy aviator who is in the cockpit in the South China Sea. It wants to get data to someone aboard a submarine who may need it in the Arctic Circle as it's conducting operations there. Data is the oil that it and the other services say is fueling warfare potentially in the 21st century. And the Navy speakers that I talk to at Sea Air Space and generally across my programs all talk about the idea of providing that data to the sailor, to the Marine who needs it, whenever that person needs it to be able to conduct their missions. And so getting that data there is as important as the data itself, as the quality of the data, the quantity of the data, and so on. So this discussion about data and therefore the infrastructure that underpins it is really, really prevalent, not just in my conversation with the Vice Chief of Naval Operations, but with all of the civilian and uniform leaders that I'm talking to. And again, not just in the Navy, but in all the military services, John.
The Admiral is candid. You ask him, how are you doing? We could do better. We could do better. However, what I'm learning from the Admiral is that data is not just for war fighting. Data is also for taking care of what you have, such as the USS Bonhomie Richard, which he identifies as a mistake. And could that have been corrected with better data management? That's the open question, Francis.
Well, I can't speak specifically to that episode, and you've covered that in great detail on your program over the last couple of years, John. But what he's getting at is that there is data available, and now with artificial intelligence to analyze that data that wasn't possible with human eyes in the past, the Navy will use, as you say, we use data not just for warfighting, but they're already using it in the Navy, Marine Corps, in maintenance to predict when pieces of equipment need to get into shipyards and other places to have maintenance conducted. They're using it for workforce personnel decisions to know who needs to be where in advance of those people needing to be there, and so that they can be proactive instead of reactive to decision making about that. It's not just in the Navy, and it's not just in the military services. The civilian agencies are using data for decision making purposes all across the federal government, and it's not just because it's a good idea. It was mandated by legislation a couple of years ago. It's referred to colloquially now as the Evidence Act, but agencies really are taking a proactive way of using data to make decisions all across the government now.
The admiral was also extremely vivid by saying, I don't need 50 pieces of data. I need one. And I want to look at it and understand where we are. What was he talking about, Francis?
So he's talking about a concept called data visualization, which means that instead of getting a grid of numbers on a spreadsheet, for example, that is in some kind of a visual format that is easy for the user to consume without the user having to be a data expert, a data analyst, him or herself. So again, that person in the aircraft, that person in the cockpit can look at data, can see a data visualization and know exactly what decision that person must make based on the information that is in front of that person. And that's what he's talking about there. In the past, data has been presented a lot of times in the military services and more broadly across the federal government in formats that require a lot of brain power and a lot of time, quite frankly, to process, analyze, and then determine, all right, this is the information that we can take out of this. And now that we have that information, we can make a decision. When you're talking about doing that in a sub or the cockpit of an aircraft or in a maintenance depot when you need to get an aircraft into maintenance, that kind of thing, you don't have the kind of time that it's taken in the past to try to make those decisions, to try to do that analysis. And that's what he's talking about data visualizations to be able to speed up that process.
What is perform the plan?
Perform the plan is just something that the Navy's undertaking to decide. We have a strategy in place, and they do. The Chief of Naval Operations in spring of this year released a document called America's Warfighting Navy. It includes three priorities. Admiral Kilby talked to me about what his role is as kind of the COO of the Navy to implement what Admiral Franchetti has written about in America's Warfighting Navy. And perform the plan is just, all right, we know what we're supposed to do. We don't have to think about the strategy. We have that in place already. Now we need to get after it. And that's what he's talking about there.
Your conversation on this particular moment when you were at the National Harbor also included the Undersecretary of the Navy, Eric Raven. What I learned from him is that there are a lot of really cool gizmos at this gathering at the Sea Air Space. Did you get a chance to see any of the gizmos, or were you on set the whole time?
I got a chance to see some of the coolest technology that was built for getting the bad guys and blowing stuff up that you can imagine. Because, as you know, the things that are designed for sailors and Marines to use in theater are just endlessly fascinating. There was a ton of stuff on the floor. Secretary Raven talked to me about some of it, but primarily what he is thinking about now is budget. The budget season in Washington has the military services and the other agencies talking to Capitol Hill about fiscal year 2025. And so he's thinking about and discussing with the appropriations and authorizers, authorization committees on the Hill, what the Navy wants and needs from Congress regarding money and program support for fiscal 2025.
Well, we need more money. We need more ships. We especially need attack submarines. Did he mention, Francis?
Oh, he mentioned all of those. And he mentioned that his boss, his direct boss, Secretary Del Toro, is also involved along with him in talking to Capitol Hill about how to plus up all of those things and how the Navy wants to use the money that it's requested and what it potentially would do if the Congress were to gift it with even more than they expected that they've asked for in fiscal 25, John.
Francis Rose is the host of FedGov Today. The website is very easy to find, and you can see the full interview with Admiral Kilby and with Undersecretary Raven, speaking of the Navy within these last days, the Navy today at the Sea, Air, and Space exhibit at National Harbor. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.